Thank you.
All right, next question, and Mr. Fissler will get the first crack at this one. KJZZ reported this morning on efforts that community leaders are making to ensure a good future for the 76,000 kids, children, that live in Maryvale. It's the highest population of children living in any village in the city of Phoenix, but Maryvale is also among the poorest places in Phoenix. This is a large part of your district, so please explain one policy you'd promote to make a difference for these families.
Wow, my name is Scott Fissler. You know what? This really touches me a lot. This is really close to home. And children in Maryvale, they deserve the best opportunities possible. And one of the ways I believe that we can make a difference is including the community and participating and enriching their lives. And one way that can be done is very much professional athletes have their own nonprofit organizations, and they would very much like to be included in Maryvale, but some people don't believe that. And it would also lessen the tax burden on us as well. At the same time, it would be a mutually beneficial agreement that could at the same time improve the lives of the children and improve the lives of our community as a whole. Thank you.
Mr. Carroll.
I read that report, and I've spent a lot of time with our friends in Maryvale since the beginning of this race, and it is a wonderful community. They asked at our recent forum, how do you improve the image of Maryvale? I think the first way that we do that is to stop asking the question and start shining the spotlight on all the good things that are happening in Maryvale. It is a tremendous community, and it's filled with active folks who embrace this city and make it much better. Some of the things that we've talked about over these past months are building parks that have gone unbuilt. We need to build them. You asked about young people. We need to, when we make a promise to build a park for young people, we need to build it while they're still young. I'd like to talk more about Maryvale to anybody that wants to talk about it later. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brown.
Well, I had the privilege of working for a Maryvale city councilman when I was working at the city. Actually, he was responsible for changing the zoning ordinances that allowed the city to go in and start ticketing property owners who weren't taking care of their property. What I would like to see occur in Maryvale is the transformation that occurred in Sunnyslope. It wasn't until the Sunnyslope area was designated as a blighted area that those federal funds started coming in. And if you take a drive up Central Avenue now, you'll see that Sunnyslope is revitalized. It's got shops. It's got art galleries. It's got people. It's got people living, working, playing. I think it's an example of what can be done in Maryvale. With regards to the youth, and that would be youth citywide, in 2008, the city operated 81 after-school programs for disadvantaged youth. Now, that number was drastically reduced. I would favor restoring that entire budget in the after-school programs, because we've got to give our kids an opportunity to do something rather than just be on the streets.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Pastor.
I'm very proud to say that I taught in Maryvale. I taught at 35th Avenue in Osborne at Pueblo del Sol, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And those are working families. And one of what I would like to see in the future is equity of funding that goes into different neighborhoods and be able to provide them the safety that they need of lighting, of police, of sidewalks. In addition to that, what I'd also like to see is after-school programs, collaborating with the schools, collaborating with the nonprofits, and bringing after-school programs into vibrant arts programs into the neighborhood so that the students and the children are vested in their neighborhood and take pride. I'd also like to get rid of graffiti, blight, everything else. So it needs an economic plan.
Mr. Lujan.
I did put out a detailed plan on what I would do to change Maryvale, changing the image, and it's on my website, davidlujan.com. But some of the things in there are changing bank policies to deal with the incredible amount of foreclosures and how banks are dealing with the foreclosed properties, which will impact Maryvale for decades to come. Expanding after school programs, but also providing city transportation from schools to the various after school programs like Boys and Girls Clubs and YMCAs. But one of the things I didn't talk about, but I'd like to mention tonight is Phoenix is the largest city in the country without a rape crisis center. And we have seen in recent years news stories about the number of sex trafficking, particularly minors involved in sex trafficking. And it's becoming a real issue. And I think one of the things that a rape crisis center does is so much more in terms of education, providing anti-bullying education, providing education to keep kids from going into those types of things. And so I would like to see Phoenix become one of those major cities that has a rape crisis center to build the education needed.
Mr. Johnson.
I walked in the La Familia parade a couple months back. I would encourage everybody in this room to go out to Maryvale, walk across the street from Carl Hayden High School, see some of the tough neighborhoods that are over there. There are families out there that don't even have sidewalks in front of their homes. They don't have sidewalks along their streets. It's literally, you know, dirt lots and then asphalt. Maryvale needs infrastructure. That's the biggest thing that they need. It's something as simple as infrastructure, something we, I think, in Central Phoenix take for granted every day. That's the biggest piece I think we can bring out to Maryvale that we can start investing in to make sure we're encouraging the type of growth and investment in a community that, and believe me, I've knocked on those doors. There are passionate people inside of Maryvale. The key is getting them engaged, helping them join neighborhood associations, building up their block watches, helping them with their grant allocations, but making sure the city's investing in them as much as they're investing back.
Mr. Head.
So one of my major platform issues, which you can read more about on my website, austinhead.com, is light rail expansion. I would propose that we put a light rail system down Thomas that connects Maryvale to the central core. So for example, think about the top 10 cities in the world. They don't all have an Eiffel Tower. They don't all have an Empire State Building. They all have fantastic train systems. They have transportation options. And this is what the people of Phoenix and the people of Maryvale need. It's been shown in Mesa. Mesa's extending the light rail, and they've seen a boom in businesses coming around the light rail corridor. Denver voters voted to invest $4.3 billion into their train system and have since seen an increase of densification by 20%. Phoenix needs light rail expansion.
Thank you. Question number 6. Across the country, government pensions are in big trouble. And in Phoenix, we've had our own controversies lately over public pensions. What is the first step that you would take to ensure the long-term solvency for the retirement system in this city? And we'll start with Mr. Carroll.
End pension spiking. I'm also interested to see what sort of pension program our friend, the city manager, is going to receive in his abrupt departure. I think that Phoenix has been well managed through the years. I think that a corollary to this question that gets asked from time to time is, will we look like Detroit? We will not. I think that we have opportunities before us. We have recently enacted some initial steps in pension reform. I'd like to see how those work. I want to circle back to a couple of things on Maryvale. I think another thing we can do is, is that my time?
Yeah, 10 seconds.
Put a district office in Maryvale. Maryvale should not be satisfied with just one light rail route, and we'll talk more later.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown.
I think, and this is one of the first things that I would do if elected, is to go, again, department by department from the city manager's office on down. The council is responsible for hiring the city manager. The city manager's department is just one department in the city. Yes, they seem to exercise more control or wield more importance, but that's not the way it should be. If elected, I plan on reviewing every department by department. I plan on restoring the parks, rec, library hours, and budgets to their pre-recession levels before 2008. And I also plan on gaining majority support for a same-sex civil union ordinance, which would be similar to what they passed in Bisbee and Tucson. I know that's not exactly the question, but I want to make sure I get my points in, Al.
Ms. Pastor.
So I agree with the mayor in ending pension spiking. Where I don't agree with the mayor is that it needs to happen now, sooner than later. We also have to look at our pension system as there is, has pension reform has happened. We are looking towards the future and its sustainability of a pension and economic sustainability. And the way the system is set up now, we will not be able to sustain ourselves for the future. So one of the ways would be end pension spiking. That I have a few minutes. There was a comment by one of the candidates that it takes leadership in letting you know about an issue on Indian School in Central. I think it takes leadership calling voters and getting robocalls saying that a casino is going to be entering on Central and Indian School is fear-mongering. And the type of leadership that you need is someone to be able to be truthful with you and bring the issue to the forefront.
Thank you. Mr. Lujan.
I would end pension spiking. I think that's something we need to do now. I think for the sustainability of the future of Phoenix, I mean, we asked earlier what was one of the things you would do to be able to repeal the food tax. I think any pension spiking is an important aspect of that. I think if we are going to make Phoenix, continue to make Phoenix financially healthy for the future, I think that's one of the things we need to focus on.
Mr. Johnson.
I think ending pension spiking is a big issue. Cutting some of the management costs. 10 years ago, our management costs, or since in the last 10 years, our management costs have almost doubled, just in terms of managing the actual fund. People are entering into what's called the drop program, which is an extra 5 years after they retire. The city hasn't been hiring people like they're supposed to in the police and firefighters department, which means we're completely paying into a pension system that isn't being offset by the additional hire. If we change those three things, I think that will make a difference. I have to go back to a question as well. The question about leadership. I think it's important for people to be loud and be vocal for their community. Dan Carroll and I did it when it was the human rights ordinance that was down at the city of Phoenix. We were the only two candidates that got up and spoke about the importance of the city looking like they're open and diverse. It's also why I did it on this issue with Central Indian School. Nobody will be louder than me for our community in city, down at City Hall. I assure you of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Head.
So there's a difference in being loud and being effective. When you're creating this alarmist attitude towards a corner, then I don't consider that leadership. I think that's just trying to rile up to gain attention. Kind of what I did with my signs. For pensions, I believe the pension system should be consolidated under the Arizona Retirement Fund. The Arizona Retirement Fund is among the top-rated managed funds in the country. If we were to consolidate our pension programs under one singular fund, we would streamline them and bring down administrative costs.
Mr. Fissler.
Again, my name is Scott Fissler. Elect Fissler to knock Phoenix back into shape. And one way we can do that, everybody, is by ending pension spiking. All right? I think we know by now that it's illegal, and it's illegal for a reason. It's because it doesn't work in the long run for city employees, and it's not the best thing for the city employees, and it's sure not the best thing for the city of Phoenix, and it's not responsible at all. And furthermore, we can do better. I mean, it's all about looking out for people below you and making sure that people that get hired after you retire also have a retirement too. Selfless service, everybody. Selfless service. It's looking out for your fellow community member, your neighbor. Thank you, everybody.
All right, the last question, and this is an audience question from tonight. And the question is, how do you plan to foster local business, Arizona-based, in your economic development plans?
I think supporting local businesses is so important. I would like the city to do a better job of reaching out to the merchants. I think right over here at the farmers market is a great example of a public-private partnership that that needs to be extended and that the city can do a better job of. If we started promoting our local businesses, our local artists, our local retailers, our local people, I think we would be very well served. And it's something that I would support and do if elected.
Ms. Pastor.
So how I would support a local business, the way I look at it, and I happen to live in Chicago for 4 years, and what was very great about Chicago was the vibrancy. And every corner had a different niche, a uniqueness about their neighborhood. We had local eateries, we had local business, everybody was connected. So the way I would support local business, and the city of Phoenix has started to move forward that way, was also making sure our local businesses can compete in procurement, and that in our procurement process that they are able to compete with the big businesses, and we keep our businesses and our supplies and everything we get for the city from our local businesses that have the capacity to do it. The other thing is, other way of doing it is also for expansion and look at different type of infield to drive an economic development and sustainability.
Mr. Lujan.
Couple of things. When I was in the state legislature, I teamed with then city council person Greg Stanton to introduce legislation to do a new market tax credit, which would give the venture capital for small business owners to start businesses, particularly in low-income areas. This would be a great benefit for areas like Maryvale. Also, having the city hold more forums for potential business owners. We've talked about Maryvale and the potential it has. There's a lot of potential small business owners in District 4 and in Phoenix in general. Giving them the resources that they need and the training on how to create business plans and how to get funding, doing those, more of those types of things. But another specific thing that I've talked a lot about in this campaign is where we could help the businesses is, for example, doing away with the reversible lanes on 7th Avenue and 7th Street. I think that is really a real impediment to some of those small businesses that do business along the 7s. I think if we really want to benefit those businesses, that's a policy that we can make that would help those businesses tremendously and would help the neighborhoods in those areas as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Most important thing from an economic development standpoint is to develop an economic development plan. I've released an economic development plan that I've emailed out to everybody. It talks about how we can drive new industries here to the city of Phoenix, how we can expand and harness the small businesses that we have. Part of our door-to-door campaign has also included knocking on business doors. I sat down with Rachel at Bunky Boutique, talked to her about things that the city can do to make it better for the small business owners. She told me, start by saying thank you. You know, thank you for paying taxes. Thank you for employing people. Thank you for starting a company inside our city. It's little things that we can do every single day to make sure that the city of Phoenix is promoting businesses, you know, the businesses that we have. We can do more. We can utilize the sites that we have along light rail to make sure that we're giving walkability within a 1 mile radius to all businesses that are at each stop. We can work to advertise the city of Phoenix and talk about how, you know, yes, we want to attract the type of businesses and industries that we want, but we also want to make sure we're promoting local first and some of the great communities that we have here as well.
Mr. Head.
So I said it before, and I'll say it again. We need light rail. Light rail, light rail, light rail. The responsibility of the Phoenix City government is to facilitate an economic environment that will help our businesses flourish. We need the infrastructure. We need the city services. That's how we help support the small businesses. Another thing is that Phoenix has a branding problem. We are overshadowed by Arizona's reputation nationally. We get this is because of our state legislature, and they are being more self-serving to their agenda than the people that they serve. What I believe is that Phoenix doesn't realize that they have the power to influence our state legislature so that it's not hurting our local economy, and it keeps people from moving away, and it keeps businesses from relocating to other cities.
My name is Scott Fissler. As you all know, the top candidate here, and the top candidate for a reason, is because whenever I see an opportunity for some piece of land in Phoenix to be developed and for our city to gain tax revenue, I say, you know what? That's the American way. Let's go for it, everybody. And you want to know what? We can have a casino here in downtown Phoenix. You want to know what, people? We should, because if we host some boxing fights there, we're talking about potential revenue, millions of dollars for a correctly promoted fight. And we need that. We don't need to let our fights go off to some place in another country like you know, with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, the Rumble in the Jungle. We need to have that kind of stuff here in Phoenix, everybody. We really do. And if you're interested in developing more and more housing, people are going to be able to afford their housing less and less because they're not going to have any way to afford it with. So everybody, we need to get real here. We need to go and bring revenue to Phoenix. We deserve better. We don't need to hear no. We need to hear let's go. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Carroll.
You are consistently a tough act to follow, Scott. My name is Dan Carroll. I like that. And with regard to business opportunities in our district and in our city, we don't need to spend $100 million on suburban parking garages, but we should look to embrace the idea of the Canyon Corridor community to build an international bazaar in the Camelback and 35th Avenue area, 27th, I believe, excuse me. We should, I think, be the solar capital of the globe. Invest in the West. We should start solar research and development of technologies in the Maryvale area. And we should look at a healthcare hub for a variety of purposes in the Park Central area.
Okay, thank you. You know, I'm shocked to say this. We have a little bit of extra time. Everyone did so well keeping to the time schedule that we will use one more audience member question. And I want to dig a little bit more into transportation with this question. This will be the final one. Whether it's bike lanes or automobile policy or light rail or bus transit, whatever it is, what do you do to create comprehensive regional transit that is not automobile focused, or should we? And I think that means we're going to start down with Laura Pastor, is that right?
Okay. Well, as I stated earlier, I sit on a transportation advisory board, and we look at it regional transportation. And the question is, what would that look like without
cars?
Without cars, okay. How I look at that, and my vision is to compact the lanes as we come into downtown to build bike lanes and to build, do a comprehensive study of our traffic flow and look to see where we can put bike lanes in. We also need to be able to have walkable sidewalks. In order to get people out and want to be able to walk, we have to have walkable sidewalks and we have to have shade. And to me, that's a combination of transportation, of building transportation. We do need more light rail. We do need to look where the ridership is happening and seeing where the impact of the light rail is happening. And building really a transportation comprehensive plan across the region.
Thank you. Mr. Lujan.
I think it's a comprehensive approach. I think it's making Phoenix more bikeable, more walkable, expansion of light rail. Justin has talked a lot about the need for a great park in Phoenix, and I actually think we have three really potentially, you know, world-class parks in Phoenix, in Encanto Park, Steele Indian School Park, both in District 4, and Margaret Hance Deck Park in Central Phoenix. I'd like to see, you know, a connection of maybe shade trees and a promenade where you could actually connect those three parks through bike lanes and walkable lanes, and making Central Phoenix just a more walking, pedestrian-friendly city, but also light rail. I have lived right off of Central and Indian School and saw Central Avenue before light rail and after light rail, and have seen the amazing difference that it's made in our Central Phoenix neighborhoods. And I think you know, that brings so much potential to the rest of Phoenix, particularly Maryvale. We talked about Maryvale, and I think, when are we ever gonna have a chance to put millions of dollars into Maryvale again, but with light rail? And so I think, you know, light rail is an opportunity to connect the rest of the valley to various areas.
Mr. Johnson.
We get elected from District 4, but we represent the city of Phoenix. I think the important part is figuring out how we bring connectivity to all the different regions throughout the city of Phoenix. The light rail should be more than just a billion-dollar investment inside the city of Phoenix. We need to figure out collaboratively and collectively across the city how we can start to build a comprehensive program, both with light rail, bike share programs, with other transportation areas like walk, you know, shade structures, et cetera, that connects other areas to Central Phoenix and to downtown. Today, we have definitely seen separation of, you know, we have Maryvale, we have the Midtown area, we have downtown Phoenix and the Arcadia area. And most of those folks stay inside their own realm and stay inside their own region. We need to figure out how we bring that connectivity to Central Phoenix. And we do that by putting a comprehensive plan for the light rail system and the bike share system that work off each other instead of just figuring out how we set up these new systems and put them in place.
Mr. Head.
So I personally do not own a car. I try and light rail and bike as much as possible. I live at the Regency House. It's the high rise next to the Heard Museum. So there's a light rail stop right outside of my building. When I lived in Chicago, what I noticed was a problem with their transportation system is that it's designed like a branches of a tree, and the trunk is downtown Phoenix or downtown Chicago. One of the problems is that there's no connection with the neighborhoods. So in order to get from different neighborhoods, you would have to either have a car or take a bus. So I think if we develop the light rail responsibly and have a way to connect all of these neighborhoods, we would be able to centralize Phoenix's core and become more sustainable with a comprehensive transportation. I was also quoted in the Arizona Republic a couple Sundays ago about they were doing a fact check, and I said it was the frequency has gone down by 15%, and the rate for the ticket has gone up by 33%. They said I was off by, or well, lowballed it, and it was actually gone up 60%. But sorry, what we need to do is stop hurting those 44,000 riders that use the light rail every day by taking away their services.
Thank you. Mr. Fissler.
Again, people, the number one candidate is Scott Fissler. That is me. And it's for a good reason, everybody. You know what? We were really cheated on our transportation. I'm pretty sure you all know right now that our light rail system has friction between the wheels and the rail. Right now in 2013, everybody. There are other cities out there that have bullet trains that have zero friction. They go a lot faster and they're extremely quiet. You might be asking, why is that we have such low technology for a light rail? I'll tell you why, everybody. It's because somebody was anticipating maybe later on down the road, maybe having to rip it out and taxing us even more and charging us even more to build in a slow update. We need to have state-of-the-art technology right now for transportation. We need it right now. We need to have businesses. We need to have money here in Phoenix. And building parks for people to go ahead and fly kites will not do that, everybody. We need to get real. Families want to make an income and take care of their children by themselves.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Carroll.
So the question was about transportation and how we're going to make it a comprehensive regional approach. We need more circulators. I was impressed this spring by the activity of the Phoenix spokespeople at the budget hearings. We need more cycling, both for those who choose the lifestyle and for those who have no other choice. We need to expand the light rail, both in its reach and in its frequency. We need trolleys in the Grand Avenue area, perhaps connecting to the Coliseum. And we need transit equality. If you buy an all-day pass to ride the metro system on a bus, it costs you approximately $2 more than if you buy the exact same ticket on light rail. That simply is socially unjust.
Mr. Brown.
Peter, are we going to have one more minute to, or is this?
There'll be no closing comments,
no
so
closing
you
comments.
Can... You know, we're talking about transportation, but if you want to not answer the question,
well,
let's do whatever you want.
If this is it, then I'm going to take the last opportunity to say that my name is Jeffrey Brown. I am a serious candidate for Phoenix City Council, and I would appreciate your vote and support. There was a couple things that I meant to say at the beginning of this. I started working when I was 13 years old. I'm the son of a roofer and a social worker. I'm not the son of a well-connected or well-established political leader, but I do hope to bring my middle-class blue-collar values to the Phoenix City Council, and I would appreciate the opportunity to serve all district residents in District 4. And I want to thank KJZZ so much for putting this on tonight and everybody for attending.
All right. Well, thank you.
First of all, thank you to all the candidates for staying on point and staying on time. Staying on point mostly, but certainly staying on time.
Thanks, y'all.
And also thank you to the audience for your polite listening. Thank you for joining us. You can find the audio from tonight's conversation on our website, kjzz.org.
Thanks, KJZZ.
Just call it a night. Thank you very much.